first time, they come to me later and say, "Boy, when you got up to preach," and they said, "Is that him?" And then to look at you, said, "That awful look you have on your face," said, "just frowning all the time." I said, "That's not so. My frown just upside down. I'm grinning. You just think I'm frowning." And you ought to hear a little old girl in my church imitate me. That's something to see. Where I sit around and look at people. I was looking you over, and I saw you was looking me over. See, this is my first time. I was just thinking up there this evening resting. I've preached just about everywhere now. Of course, I've had a little time to do it, a little longer than you, nearly 50 years of it. He said one church 30 years, you're a little wrong. It's like 2 years being, a year and a half being 40 years at one church. They can't get rid of anything. They're stuck. But anyhow, I've preached in North Carolina and Virginia and West Virginia and Illinois and Michigan and Oklahoma and South Carolina and Georgia, Florida, Louisiana and Tennessee, all around the world. I preached in every country I think we stopped in. I've been over to the Holy Land. And I preached at the Golden Gate. And I thought I was drawing a big crowd. And there were Muslims. But the guide said, "If you don't get that guy down from there, they're going to kill him." I wasn't saying nothing, just ordinary things, you know. And but anyhow, then I preached at the First Baptist Church, that little mission over there. They call it First Baptist Church, small thing. But I led up to say this. Somehow I missed Ohio. Never had been around here. I've been through here and through here and through here. But this is new meat for me. Yes, sir. And I've prayed for years that God give me a chance to preach and get fruit in every country. And if I live a little longer and Jesus don't come, I might get to do that. I don't know. But anyhow, he didn't tell you anything about me. And I'm not going to tell you my last story. Bless God, and I don't want nobody digging it up neither. No, sir, just let that thing stay buried. We're going to talk about that at all. I'm thankful what God's let me do. I have been preaching nearly 50 years, 47, 48. And right now, I'm pastor of my church. I try to visit my sick. Do a little soul winning there. Then we have a Bible Institute. I'm teaching it. And then we have radio programs. I preach on them. Then I help Brother Perkle make the film on the burning hell and the heaven film. I played the part of Abraham in that. And then I've been averaging one camp meeting a year now for some, I mean a month. One camp meeting a month for some time. Squeezing a few revivals. And the rest time, I just lay around and take it easy. But I'm enjoying it. Then you just quit doing something you like to do, and I enjoy it. I really do. Getting a big blessing out of it. And now, I find my way around pretty good. He asked me, did I find this place all right? I said, yes, sir. When I come to Fowler Road, I turn off. I said, I wonder if I'm on the right road and getting close to my crowd. And I looked out and seen a big sign said night crawlers. I said, yeah, I'm getting close to my crowd right up there. So as I started to stay on the beginning, a fellow went in the store and he was blind. He had a red tipped cane and he was tipping around with it, or white tipped, whatever they wear on the things. And he got in there and he just reached down and picked up his blind dog, you know, he was blind, had his blind, the dog that led him. He just reached down and got him with a tail, went going around and around, just like that. And the fellow run up and run the store and said, what in the world are you doing? I said, nothing. I said, I'm just looking around. So I seen you looking around a while ago when I got up, put on all this, your harness and one thing, another. I saw you looking around. Well, let's just look it out. Amen. It'll be all right. I'll tell you all I know and give you a chance telling me all you know if you want to. All right. Now, tonight, I promise you, now most time when I preach in a camp meeting, don't want to scare you now, I preach an hour and a half, 2 hours. I preached down at Sam Allen's camp meeting one night. I preached on Death in the Pot. I think I had 35 saved that night. And I preached, and the invitation was still going at 4 o'clock the next morning. It's going to the dorms and getting people bringing them back. Was you in that service? That's right, wasn't it? But I'll give you this, unless the Lord changes my mind, I won't tarry, and I won't hold you. And I promise you, I'll cut this thing in less than half. I'll just whack it down as low as I can and let you out when I can, and you bear with me. I do want to say a few things, but I promise you, I won't try to keep you and hold you and preach to you. But in the book of John, I want you to turn to the third chapter. I don't have to ask if you have a Bible. Most of you camp meeting crowd, you carry a Bible, and that's good. If you carry a Bible down the road, at least to know you're not going to the pool room or something like that, more than likely, unless you're going to pawn it for something. But anyhow, in chapter 3, you'll say, well, preacher, I've read this before. Well, I'm going to read it again. Repetition's good for you. Especially, I got to read this to get my platform and my springy board to get started here tonight. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles. Miracles. That thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now, not born again and again and again and again, but born again, he said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He won't see it. All right? Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time of his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now he's talking about two births. He's talking about the physical birth and the spiritual birth. Now just forget all them other interpretations and just believe how God interpreted the sixth birth. He's talking about the flesh and the spirit, and that's it. All right. Got that settled. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now you notice that word in the second verse says miracles. Says miracles. Now, for just a little while, I want to talk to you about the miracles of the Christian. Right here's the first one. The miracles. You know, you're a miracle person if you're saved. If you've really been born again, boy, you just made up of miracles. Now, I won't have time to cover anything like all of them, but just a few of them to make you feel good about yourself. The miracles of the Christian. And number one is the fact that you got born again. You got born again. Now, I believe when he was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus had in his mind, he's talking about a kingdom, because it's under the law, talking about a kingdom he's going to set up on earth. But nevertheless, he said, you still got to be born again to see that kingdom. And so, the first one, the miracle of a new birth. Now, that's what's lacking in our churches today. We got members, but we need something with the new birth. You know what I mean? See, we've left out repentance. We say, just believe, 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 believe. Well, I believe. Before I got saved, I believed just as much of hell as I do tonight. I believed in God just as much as I did, because I knew He shook me over hell every once in a while and let me know that's where I was headed, you know. But I didn't believe on Him. And I didn't take Him as my Lord. A whole lot of different getting Him as a fire escape and as your Lord. Now you'll say, well, how you know? Yeah, that you got Him as your Lord. How you living? Does He Lord your life or do you Lord it? Does the Word of God Lord your life, or does the world Lord your life? Huh? That's what it says. You see what I'm talking about? We got a lot of people got fooled about this thing. You got to get born again. And when you get born again, you see, you've been made over. You've been fixed up. Now, I've always likened this new birth as to like a basketball. You know, you have a basketball, you have the leather, and then you have the inner tube, and then you have the air. The leather, your flesh, and the inner tube, and then in the air, the spirit, and you're made up of the body, soul, and spirit, you see. Your body, soul, and spirit. That's where I've always likened it to. And here's the thing about it. When you got saved, according to Colossians 2, right down through the second chapter, he tells you, you got an operation. You was operated on. I mean, you're talking about today, they've got something now they can operate on, you never cut you open. Well, the Lord had that in a long time ago, been using a long time. He can operate on you, never go inside. I mean, as far as a knife on the outside, he gets a, you got circumcised. Now, you know what circumcision of the flesh was, according to law. But you got circumcised spiritually when you got saved. In other words, when the Holy Ghost come in, the Word of God's in your heart, there was a conception, and there was a brooding of the Holy Spirit over the Word of God, and you got hatched out like a chicken. You got born again. Yeah. That's right. And then what he done while he's there, he cut that old inner tube loose from the leather. He cut that old flesh loose from the spirit. And that's why he said, now if the Son sets you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thank God I don't have to dip snuff. Thank God I don't have to have my wife wear bullfighting britches. Thank God I don't have to watch the dirty low-down television crap. I don't have to follow that. You see, I got circumcised in the heart. Before I got saved, I was addicted to the movies. I went to them. Back then there wasn't much to them. You know, I thought you were supposed to shoot Indians until I was about 17 years old, everyone you saw. Because that's what the cowboy and Indian, he wound up shooting the Indian, you know. And I thought that's all. That's about all done. Shot a few Indians. And if they kissed a girl, they done it behind a 10-gallon Stetson hat. You didn't know what went on. And there's a ride a horse, you couldn't even see their knees, let alone their thighs. That's about all there was to them. But boy, I was addicted to movies. But you know, when I got operated on with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't stand to go in a theater. Didn't cost but a dime. Well, I dreamed one night I was in the picture show. That's what we call them, picture shows. And I dreamed I was in there, boy, and I cold sweat. I knew every member in the church was watching me, and the preacher's watching me. And I said, my God, how did I get in this place? I was just dreaming. You wondered how in the world. I said, how did I get in here? But when I woke up, I said, thank God. I wasn't in that dirty, low-down, filthy, slop place called the movies. Of course, I know now you got things 10,000 times worse sitting in your living room. You eat it up, sloppity, sloppity, slop. And you get mad if your preacher says, you've trained him not to say nothing about it. But see, you ain't got me trained, amen? You got me trained. Well, you say, what am I going to do about it? Do that like thousands done all over the country, kick the cotton picking thing out and get your Bible out and live like you ought to live. And if you can't stand that, ask God to save you. Just get saved, amen? Get born again. You see, now listen, here's what you need to learn. You need to learn that it's a whole lot harder, it's easier for a Christian to live for God than it is a sinner. You know why? You've been operated on. You've been cut loose. The only way you can sin is just jump on it and get in it. But you see, a sinner before you're saved, you was tied to it. Just like this fellow was preaching, said you're trying to get away from it. You want a way out. You see, you was tied to it. But when you get born again, you're set free. Now you can do it, but it ain't like you ain't tied. It's a whole lot easier for a Christian to live for God than it is a poor sinner. They're bound. They're tied. You know what I'm talking about if you're saved. If you don't, you better pay close attention and try to get your part tonight. Amen? All right. Now, what I'm trying to say, the first miracle in a Christian's life, you got born again. You got born to the Spirit of God. You got saved by the grace of God. And we call it the new birth. You can talk about something no other man in the country that's never been saved can't talk about. You can say, I've been born again. I've been born again, and I know I've been born again. I've heard a lot of people say, you don't know, you can't feel it. You mean tell me you can get some biggest God inside of you and don't know he's there? There's something wrong somewhere or another. You see what I'm talking about? I know you say, preacher, you're preaching a strange doctrine. I know it, I use the King James Version. That's getting to be a strange doctrinal book. You know that. You know that. We have a jubilee every second week in October, and the first full week in May, we call it the King James Bible Jubilee. And I get more criticism over that than anything in the world. But that's all right. I'm right and they're wrong. Now what the first thing I want you to learn tonight is this. The first miracle ever happened in your life, you got born again. I remember the day, and it's been a long time. I remember the day, or rather the night, I remember when I got on my knees and I got born again. And the old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I just couldn't stand my cigarettes anymore. And boy, I just eat them before. And I got to work, and I'd go by the old pool room I used to run, and the odor of it just about knocked me down. I couldn't stand it. But it's fun to me that some people can supposedly get born again, and they just get right back in that stuff. Yeah. I'm perceiving that the dogs went back to its puke. Yeah. Am I preaching the Bible? Right. The dog has returned to its vomit? Yeah. Sure, it goes back to its vomit. If you got convicted over an old television, kicked it out. You got convicted over wearing bullfight breeches and quit them. You got convicted over smoking cigarettes and went back to them. You're just that old dog that went back to its puke. I can't help it. God put it in the Bible. That's not 666. That's 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 22nd verse. The dog's going back to its vomit, and you women's going back to your wallet and your mar. He likens men to dogs and women to hogs. I preached 2 Sundays ago on hogs, dogs, and snakes. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, why do you go back to the old stuff? Why do you go back and laugh it up? You got up and sang Amazing Grace and how wonderful it was to serve God. You let that old heart get cold, quit reading your Bible, quit going to church like you ought to, and then instead of doing it, as Brother Henderson said a while ago, it's going in all these churches now, it's just a semicircle. You start picking. And you always start on the pasta. Pick, 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 pick. See, I know the pattern. When you run the pattern, many times I have, you know the pattern, see. I know the pattern. And now we're in a generation of pickers. They just pick, 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 pick. I'll guarantee before some of you leave here tonight, you'll pick my sermon to preach. If you'll stay out, I'll pick you to pieces. Ooh, amen. We just pick each other like two old Dominecker chickens. Amen. The miracle of a new birth. Have you had that miracle? That's a miracle. But that don't stop. You know, this something don't stop. Somebody, I know somebody that stopped right there. They said they got born again, and they've been sitting there ever since. Nothing else ever happened. I'm so glad, praise God, I don't have to live on Moody's experiences. I don't have to live on Spurgeon. And I don't have to memorize all Billy Sunday done. Thank God and have some on, amen. That's right. Good preaching if I am doing it. You might think my vocabulary is poor, but I bet you understand every word I've said. And I bet everything I've said, you thought about some old hussy in the church. Didn't you do it? Amen now. Come on now. Don't look at me like that and quit bowing your head. We ain't going to pray just yet. We'll pray after a while. All right. Maybe. If you don't leave me first. Quit me. All right. There's the miracle of being born. Then after that is the miracle of joy. When I got saved, I got happy. You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Praise God. My sins are gone. Amen? Amen. They're gone. And if yours was like mine, you got something to be happy about, brother. Amen? You got something to be happy about. Joy. You know, God's people have a bigger time just getting out here and singing and clapping their hands and shaking hands than the world can, drinking liquor and smoking marijuana and wearing tight breeches and shorts and bikinis and all that bunch of junk and running out to the beaches and hooping it up and down the country. God's people get in the house of God and just sing, clap their hands, have a whole lot better time. Joy, 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 joy. The miracle of joy, amen. I know of one time here a while back, I was in Illinois meeting with Brother Tim Lee. That's the boy that's got his legs amputated in the army. I was preaching revival for him and old, cold, dead, stale church. But they got stirred up. They got stirred up. And one got saved one night. They packed out the building, packed out the Sunday school room, and one got saved. And we up there, they're so happy about it when one gets saved. And it is something to get happy about. Yeah. Boy, when one gets saved, we ought to rejoice. We ought to be happy. Just to see one person get saved. One person get saved. We're just finishing up the fourth week of our youth camping. And I'm not bragging on myself. I didn't save them. God saved. But we had, last time I counted before last night, and I believe we had some last night, we had 49 made profession of faith. Now, you can't. And I believe there's some more last night. Now, the first thing each of your pickers does, well, you reckon all them really got saved? We reckon them two you won to God in the last 4 years were saved? I don't keep that count. If a man tells me he's a sinner, a boy tells me he's a sinner, a girl tells me he's a sinner, they acknowledge it to God, they ask God to forgive them, and they're willing to take Jesus Christ, the Lord, in the heart, depend on what he done on the cross to get to heaven, that's all I know. I can't add nothing else to it. You can't either. Joy. I was up there preaching, and that man got saved, and this, oh, all this, they're so happy about it. They put him up here and said, now everybody, and that was, man, there was a crowd there. More than I hear. And they said, let's shake hands with him. Well, that takes a long time for that crowd to shake hands, that one man. So they started coming around, and they started singing him, and they sang Choppy up there. That's all right. I don't care if you chop it or what you turn a tin tub over and run a rope through it and beat the bottom out. I don't care how you make your noise. I had a fellow left my church here just a while back called a boy played drums. And went to church. The pastor condoned smoking and TVs and a whole lot of things. But he quit the church because of the drum. That's one of them pickers I was talking about. Just gonna pick. That wasn't what getting in his eye. Wasn't that drum? That low down living he was doing what getting in his eye. Amen, amen. Like that's good preaching. If you are hurting somebody today, somebody said you sure walking on my toe. I'm sorry. I'm aiming at your heart. I ain't shooting at your toe. Yeah. Amen. All right, now listen. They got to walking by shaking hands, and they sang kind of choppy. It's all right, but it's just different I'd heard. They sang, I'm amazing grace, I speak the sound to say to wretch like me, and then it's Tim, and they'd come around and shake hands. You know, and that had to sing it to them, to it. Finally, they sung it over and over and over and over and over and over, and they'd clap for hand a little bit and praise God, and about the last and come around, he was lost. He fell on his knees and got saved. They said, well, we've got to shake hands with him. They started around again. Amazing grace, sweet to sight, saved a wretch like me. And they went around and around, and about that time, some woman fell on her knees and got saved. They said, well, we've got to go around again. Got to shake hands. And honest, I'm not telling you no story. You can call Tim Lee and see it. At 11 o'clock, they're still going around and around saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. And you know how shouting, having a time, having a better time doing that than could I in the world doing all the damnable stuff the devil's got to offer. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, are you a shouting preacher? Yes, I'm a shouting preacher. I've got Brother Upman's other night. He told me after I preached, he said, you go back there in my office, lay down that couch. You worked hard and you're not a young man no more. You just lay down there and you just take it easy. He said, you preached hard and I know you're tired. You've come a long ways riding that old bus. Get back there and lay down. I lay down and I heard him up there blowing them horns, and I love them horns. And there's a blowing them tooters and carrying on. And then fell over on that drum. I said, great high heaven, hot and I sleep. God, I got up and I said, move over. I want to get in this cloud. In a little bit, I said, Solomon McGahee and Brother Upman, I said, this ain't satisfying either. I'm going to shout. And I just run them down there. You say, well, you shout. I'll shout the drop of the hat. You turn your back and I'll drop the hat. Preacher, I don't like your kind of preaching. There's a whole lot of people don't like my kind of preaching. You'd just be surprised how many don't. All them hypocrites don't like it. Amen, amen. Now, that's a miracle of joy. Brother Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked, he was whipped, he was stoned, and he was finally killed, and everything in the world happened to him, in jail, out of jail, but yet right in the middle of it all, him and Silas in the jailhouse singing. And God's power come down. And the old jailer said, what did I do to get saved? He said, go join the Mormon church. Oh, I'm sorry. He said, go join the Catholic. Go get in that. No, I didn't say that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. He said, why did He tell him to repent? What you think? Well, my good gracious life. This pulpit, if the Lord didn't take care of me, I'd get killed first night up here. I'm used to a big, wide platform. God, you seen me pick them up and shake them that time, didn't you? Amen. One thing about it, we got him awake for you, whoever preaches next. Amen. I don't, you say, well, you said everybody had to repent. So he didn't tell him to repent. What you think he's done when he told him to believe? He was sorry he whooped him. He is sorry he's in such a mess. He is sorry he lived in sin. He wanted to get right with God. That's godly sorrow. See, godly sorrow ain't repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, change of attitude, change of way. It's turning from the old man to the new man, the devil to Christ. Amen. The miracle of joy. And of course, there's also the miracle of prayer. If you're saved tonight, make you feel good. You're the only person in the universe can get on your knees and say, my Father, which is in heaven. Ain't that something? You see, when I got saved, so many things happened, I could preach all night on what happened when I got saved. Can't. Ain't got time. I'm preaching another sermon. See what I'm trying to say? You see, ain't so many things happened when I got saved. I not only got saved, born again, but I got adopted into the Israelites' family. Now, don't look at me like a frog. I'll debate you on anything you want to debate on. I'm not a smart man. I just know a little bit about the book. I just know we were adopted sons. And you know, I had Abraham, wrong, that old Jew, he fell in love with me. He come by when they give me some boots. Anytime a Jew give you something, you say he's okay. He give me some boots. Now, I'm not running down Jesus Christ. He was Jew. But, you know, I'm talking about these here tightwad Jews. Damn it, he rebuked and said, you old snakes and you old wife. But anyhow, Abraham's a good man. He's dead now. Had a heart attack and died. But he come by. He fell in love with me. He come by and I never saw him. Walked in my office and come up and stuck his hand out. And he was wanting to do some deputation work. And, you know, when they come in, I know how they set their pace and how they set their plan when they come in. I know what to come out. I said, I'll just get through it. What you want to do? And he took my hand and he said, I'm a Jew. Glad to meet you. I said, I am too. He looked at me and said, you ain't no Jew. I said, I am a Jew. He said, you ain't no Jew. I said, I am a Jew. And we just started, well, I stuck our head up to see what's going on. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm adopted into the family. He said, oh, God bless you, Brother Lackey. And there's a whole lot of things happened when you got saved. You got operated on, and you got something you never had before. You got a new spirit, and it starts with a capital S. Amen. Amen. But I can't preach on that tonight. I'm cutting this sermon to a third, just giving you a third of it. Now then, there's the miracle of prayer. My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be my name. You know, 16 years ago, I think it was, me and my wife never had a family doctor. What do you want with a cow if you don't need no milk? Nobody drink it. We've never been sick. Well, I wouldn't pay a doctor for it. We wouldn't have no doctor. And so went to the doctor 16 years ago, and she started hemorrhaging one night, and I heard her groaning. And I came out of my room, looked up the hall, and she was laying there, and the blood was running almost down to my door. And I was on crutches. I'd started to go over to take the church at Jack's store. In fact, I took it. I pastored it till I recommended him to go up there and hit Jack's store. Oh, that's old Prayer Baptist Church over Wayne, Michigan. And so they called me the pastor, and I was on crutches and had my back broke and had braces on. Looked like a world caved in at one time. When it come, boy, it come. And here my wife was lying there on the floor, blood running down there to me. And I heard her groan. And I got out and I went up and I said, honey, what in the world? And she said, preacher, she always called me preacher. You ought to hear what some of my good members call me sometime. She said, preacher, goodbye. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. I'm a dying. She thought she was. I said, oh, no. And I took my feet. I couldn't use my hand, couldn't bend over, and I kicked some pillows. You know, we can go through some trying times as a Christian. Think it not strange when fire trials come upon you. We through much persecution. We're going to have persecution too. He said, we're going to have trial. He said, like the sparks go up, a man has trouble. You're going to have trouble. I haven't quit having trouble yet. Praise God, one day I'm going to quit having trouble. Amen, aren't you? Yes, sir. Anyhow, we got her up and took her to the doctor and took her to Winston, and he gave her a shot and said, oh, you'll be all right. We'll have you back down here. And I think he waited and gave an appointment for 2 or 3 months ahead or something. But the next morning was Sunday. That was on Saturday night, about 2 o'clock. Next morning, I got up and I heard that phone ring with that funny tone, you know. I said, uh-oh, something wrong. I answered the phone, and the nurse said, we've checked out your wife's blood and one thing or another, and we changed her mind. We want your wife down here in the morning. I said, whoop, I know what's the matter. I knew what it was. Got down there and went in, and the doctor, he looked at me and looked at her, and I was on crutches and the bracing, and he said, I hate to tell you this, said, you look like my dad. My dad's a missionary. But he said, I'm going to tell you facts. I'll have to. Said, your wife has malignancy, a tumor And he showed it how big and how terrible. And I looked at her and she looked at me. My wife's one of the greatest soul winners in that part of the country right now. She's old as I am. She'll average, well, she did up, she got real bad. She'll average winning 1 to 5 souls every week. You say, that ain't nothing. How many did you win last week? Last month? Last year? Since you spoke to God, say, God left you here to bear fruit and all's come down so far as lemons, huh? Well, anyhow, he told us, said, and I looked at her and she looked at me and he said, did you understand what I said? I said, yeah, you said my wife had cancer. He said, yeah, and bad. I said, how bad, dog? He said, well, if I can operate, I will. See how all is spreading. And my wife just reached over in her pocketbook and pulled out the little purse. And she got out a little paper and said, preacher, if you'll get me a hospital bed, if you'll get me a phone light, I got 5 I've been working on. I believe I can win them all to Jesus. Amen. I said, woman, he has told you had cancer. Amen. She said, well, haven't you always told me to be prepared? I said, I'm prepared. Amen. I said, all regret I have is I don't never get to be with you. I said, would you just kind of stay around till I go on? I said, you're always gone somewhere. And I understand it. I said, honey, I'll not only be there in the room, if they won't let me in there, I'll lay down at the door. And I did. And you know what? I don't know if they ever had a revival in that Southern Baptist hospital in that chapel. I don't know if they ever had a decent service. I don't know. But I know they had a revival that time for 2 weeks. I wasn't fasting. I just didn't want to eat. Yeah. And I got before the Lord. See, I've never had no children. I raised some children. Weren't mine. Got some now. They're not mine, but I read. But you know, I got out and I got a little bit miffy. And I said, Lord, I said, you can't take her. Because I got my back broken. I can't even put on my socks. And I said, that ain't all. I ain't got no children. And what people have got left when I left the Ephraim Church and the Episcopalians, they throwed me out. I said, I'm out. And I said, Lord, I'm in a mess. And I kept praying and praying and praying. The doctor said, you pray and I'll cut. But you know, after a while, the Holy Ghost come as a comforter. Now, if you haven't ever learned Him as the comforter, I want to introduce you to Him when you get in trouble sometime. If you've been living right and stay right and pray right, when the Holy Spirit, the comforter, comes, everything will be all right. And I began to turn around and I said, well, Lord, I tell you, you can have her. I don't care. Take her home. I just want you to know I'm going to preach the funeral. And then he began to argue me. Now, I don't mean audibly. God never spoke to me audibly. If He spoke to you audibly, you thank God for it. He ain't never spoke to me audibly. He impresses my heart. He speaks through His Word. Now, if you got it different, okay, we ain't going to pick. I just tell you the truth. Tell you fact. But seeing the Lord said to me, I ain't going to take her. I said, I done told you. I'm going to preach her funeral. So I done told you I ain't going to take her. So about that time, the phone rang, and the doctor's down there said, Dr. Linton sat down in the hospital and said, preacher, like, he is more excited than I was. He said, I believe I got a real clean cut. I believe I got everything. And preacher, honest, I'll be your wife's going to live and be all right. But I didn't get a bit excited. I'd done heard from him. Yeah, baby, preacher, I don't believe you telling all that stuff. Well, I do. Yeah. I don't have any people that went through things I did, and they said, my mind went back to what you've done and your experience, and it really helped me. Well, you know, after 11 years, I believe it was, we went back for the regular checkup. And there, just forgot about just go down, you know, take the regular test and come on back. Done that over and over and over. We just forgot almost. But one day we went and got home. The doctor called and said, I hate to tell you, but that thing is, she's got a cancer in her lung. And I don't know if we can operate or not. Went down, they checked and checked and finally said, yes, and we'll try to operate. They went in there working on her, and I was sitting out there in the lobby fretting and kind of praying and crying. And about that time, here come my wife walking out. She had a nurse by the hand. They had it there on the table. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I just wanted to tell you, preacher, I just now won this nurse to the Lord. Yeah. Said her husband, husband got saved 2 or 3 weeks ago and said she is really right. You know, old-time salvation religion, it's like the old-time red measles. Everybody in the house will catch it if you get a good case of it. Amen, amen, amen. I've heard people talk about, I've been out inviting, I've invited 100 people, and nobody's here. I went out next day, I invited 100, nobody come. If I did that, I wouldn't go out and invite. I'd go to the office and say, Lord, what's wrong with me? Yeah. I won't be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I ain't going to quit bothering you, so I know I've got the power of God on my life. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what will happen? You'll get it. Yeah. You'll get it. Anyhow, this is just an introduction, but I'll close a minute. Now listen. This man, he told me, said, I'm going to operate. He operated and come out, and she lived. Well, some of you prayed for that operation 4 years ago. Some of you here, I know you did. I know some of you prayed for that. I know Brother John Mitchell did. And about, well, now it's been about a year or so ago now. A lot of you here have been praying for that. We went back thinking everything's going to be all right. Doctor laid the x-rays aside and forgot them for 3 weeks. Finally picked them up. Lazy hound dog, like to kill my wife. And finally got around to it like some of his old mail and called me and said, I forgot to tell you that stuff has started in her side. She's got cancer in her side. She's got massive tumors. I said, why don't you tell me? Well, I'm so busy. Went down and sent me back to the same doctor, and he looked at it and examined it and said, I'm sorry, lady. And he told me, he called me and said, Preacher, I'm sorry. I said, I can't do nothing for her. I said, what you mean you can't do nothing for her? He said, well, man, she's covered in there, and well, I wouldn't touch that for nothing. I said, what am I going to do? Well, in good words, he said, take her home and let her die. I said, mm-mm. That's when I got on the telephone and called you and you and you and you and you and you. You see, I'm talking about the miracle of prayer. I'm talking about that you have in your hands the greatest weapon that's ever given to God mankind, and you use it so carelessly and not even often. Prayer's the key. Prayer's the key. That's why I'm telling this. Stir you up to pray. Get right so you can pray. Get right so you can pray. Get filled with the Holy Spirit so you can witness. Acts 1:8 said, and you shall have power. Don't let the word scare you. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, you'll have power. I don't have all power, but praise God, I got a little of it. I got enough. I keep my enemies scared off. And they call me every week or two and say, now listen, don't you pray against me. If I ever get a hold of God and get me killed, I believe I'd do something he's saying. I do. Amen, John? Amen. Well, anyhow, we went back the last time and I got another doctor. Went down there, and new doctor. He said, listen, I don't know. This thing got me puzzled. We got an old doctor here, old Doc Johnson. Would you let him look at these x-rays? We went to another hospital, of course. I want another opinion. And I said, that's what I brought down here for. And he said, well, listen, he's an old doctor, but I'd like to look. He looked at them things. And I think he had a sock on his head, wears booties over his shoes. Rides a bicycle all the time, his pants rolled up halfway to his knees, runs up and down them steps, and he's older than I am. He come in there and took them in there, and they kept him 3 weeks pondering and sending them bills out. And he went in there and looked at it about 10 minutes, come back to the hospital room, looked my wife in the face, are you Ms. Lackey? She said, yes, I am. He said, I'll operate on you in the morning. He said, I'll pick them things off right like grapes. He said, how could you do it? Prayers, 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 prayers. He never lifts alive. He never lifts the knife. Till he says, my Father, which is in heaven. Yeah. See, I don't believe in that stuff. That ain't much happening in your life either, is it? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a faith healer. I'm not one of these charismatics that run around and say, I got apostolic power. I ain't got no apostolic power. I don't believe you got none. If you think you have, I'll take you to the graveyard and let you do me one. Now that'll explain my position pretty good, don't you think? Now I believe in divine healing. I believe in the divine healer. But I don't believe we have apostolic power in the sense that Paul had it and the disciples had it at the beginning of the church. If you believe different, you need to let me teach you some. Amen, Lucky, you're doing all right. You're making the chef a lot of friends tonight. Amen. Yes, sirree. Well, anyhow, this doctor operated and he sent her home. And now for 6 months, we've been waiting. You know how you wait, you know, and pray. And Friday, I took her back. Had all you folks were praying. Some of you asked me as soon as I walked in, how's your wife? I said, well, I took her for that big checkup Friday. And the doctor checked her out and said, I can't find nothing. Everything healed up. I don't want to see you for 12 months. Get out of here. Now you say, well, God always do that? No, he won't always. You're going to die one of these days. I'm at the age right now, I feel like I'm half dead. You're going to die, brother. But you want to live as long as you can. It's mighty good to take God's word. He said, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Jeremiah said, he said, call upon me, saith the Lord, and I'll show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Matthew 7:7 said, ask, seek, and knock, and you shall find. Pray. You say, well, preacher, what about greatest weapon you ever had? But you've got to be qualified to pray. Now, here's where some of us going to differ. You say, does God hear sinners and pray? Nope. You say, how are you going to prove that? I'll prove it like this. When a Christian prays in this dispensation, according to the Bible, he prays, the Holy Spirit conveys the prayer. He takes it to Jesus. Jesus takes it to the Father, and the Father answers it for Jesus' sake, not yours. And if you don't have Christ, he ain't yours. Now, you can argue all you want to. You say, well, I prayed in the foxhole. Maybe mama was praying in the closet. You see, I believe they go up his arms. I believe he'll hear a person praying for mercy. Because he ain't no unbeliever no more. If he didn't believe, he wouldn't say, God, oh God, if you was a believer in that jail when you said, God, have mercy, God, forgive. God said, you was a believer right there. Good preacher like that's good preaching. If it is, tearing up your sermons. Throw them away. Get some old time sermon preaching. That's good, ain't it? Amen? All right. The miracle of prayer. You know why I'm saved tonight? My brother saved me. They said, no, Jesus. No, shut up. Wait till I tell this. I'm doing the preaching. You listen. There's a sense in which you can save somebody. You're saving people today. When you take the gospel to them, you pray for them to get under conviction, there's a sense in which you save them. Of course, you take them to the Savior. And in that sense, my brother say, isn't a woman don't have much sense. She's kind of like me. She's off on bricks upstairs. And she'll stand up and testify and look at my wife. And every time she does, she said, there's the woman, save me. Well, we know what she meant. My wife just led her to Christ. And you see, I had a brother. He died backslid. He died trying to get over a drunk. He got saved in a Wesleyan Methodist church. And they believe in a lot of works, I know that. But he got born again. He got saved. Boy, he'd shout and carry on. He even quit cigarettes, quit liquor, and all that. But you know what his biggest burden seemed to be when he got saved? Now, again, I won't go back and dig up my past. But Brother Henderson, I know you'd do it too. But God knows my heart tonight. I'd give both these hands and both these eyes to some things I've done had never happened. I can't undo them, but thank God you can sing. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. You can't go behind the blood. I get tired and sick of these people gouging at preachers, going behind the blood and say, well, who's not qualified? Well, you good little sweetie thing, ain't none of us qualified. Amen, amen, amen. Like all you want to do is pick, 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 pick. Justify your own ungodly sins you do it. I tell you one thing, you won't never find a soul winner nickpicking. You won't never find a man that's in the prayer room weeping, praying for soul. You won't find him nitpicking. Come on, that's good preaching. You say, who does that? All the churches got them. It goes in a pattern round and around and around and around and around. Thank God I ain't among the nitpickers and never was. Every preacher here, every pastor could say amen to that. Got nitpickers. They can't see their own wallowing sin, but they can pick a gnat out of somebody else's eye and look at it, you know. Now then, that man prayed for me. He'd get out on the sidewalk. I didn't know what was the matter. I didn't know nothing about prayer. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know nothing. I was wallowing in sin, running to the pool rooms and gambling and all that stuff. He couldn't talk to me. There's some people you can't talk to. But I couldn't keep him from praying. And I didn't know till after I saved. He went to backtracking that thing. And you know, I have to tell this. My wife, a low-down pool room, a slow-down, lousy and dirty. I'd never let my wife darken the door before I saved. I said, I ain't fitting for a pig in there, let alone you. Yeah. With it. I said, don't you even stick your head in that door. It ain't fitting. But you know, my brother prayed. And he prayed. And I didn't know what was happening. But I come home one day and I said, I'm going to get out the pool rooms. I had two in a restaurant. I said, what's the matter? Ain't you making no money? I said, I'm making more. My pocket's full than I ever had. I said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. I just can't stand the smell of them no more. Yeah. I got out of them, but you know, it followed me. I went in the grocery business and it smelled just about as bad. Every time I'd pick up a pack of cigarettes and sell it to a guy, I'd feel so bad. Say, no, just prayers. I didn't know what it was then. And I was just sick. You know, I was sick. But you know, the night an old cripple boy won me to Jesus Christ, that healed me. And I traced it back, and my brother had prayed me under conviction. You didn't pray till people said, I can't stand it no longer. And they don't even know what's going on. Amen. I thank God for the miracle of prayer. Amen. The miracle of prayer. But you got to be qualified for it. You got to confess them sins. You got to keep them on the blood. You got to turn your life. If you want to be 100-fold Christians, you better read over what says 100-fold Christian is. 100-fold is what it takes. But if you want to be filled with God, you want to be used of God, you got to make that surrender. You got to confess your sin. I do it. I want to say one more thing about the miracles of a Christian. That's just the introductory to it. And that is the miracle of winning souls. A miracles of winning souls. Did you know the greatest miracle ever happens? It's when you operate and get out of here with a burden and go after a soul. I don't care if it's a little girl. I don't care. I wish somebody had won me when I was 6 years old. You get a little boy saved, you got a body and a soul saved. You get an old man saved, you just got a soul saved. The body's nothing more out serving the devil. Amen. The greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles on this earth, is a soul getting saved. Do you hear me? When you get a man saved, a woman saved, a boy saved, you've done a miracle. Nobody else can do it. The pool room crowd can't do it. The lost church members can't do it. The unqualified people can't do it. But you that's yielded your life to God, you're the one and the only one can do this miracle. Winning somebody to Jesus. Winning somebody to Jesus. Greatest thing ever done. I've won a few. I got an old hole over there, Stewart Creek. I passed the other day and I told him, I said, before we had a Baptist in the church, I said, I baptized over 1,000 in that hole. One Sunday, I baptized 101, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken. That's the biggest number. Think about that. Think about them souls. I had people go to baptize. I went down to the river, Dan River. So help me God, they estimated it to the cars and trucks. I baptized 60 people out of one revival. Went to his other church, had 60 saved over there. Went over to the river, and they estimated 6,000 people standing around the banks. Watching that. The greatest miracle in the world. Winning souls to Jesus Christ. I get hungry to win souls. The Bible said, he that hungereth after righteousness shall be filled. He that hungereth and thirsts after righteousness. You want to do right? You want to be a soul winner? Well, God said hunger after it, thirst after it. You get it. I get to the place I feel like I'm going to die. No, one night I had Perkle years ago holding a meeting for me. And but nobody moving, nobody getting saved. And I got bad off. I want to see somebody get saved, Brother Henson. I want to see somebody come down that aisle. You say, well, what about it? Well, you just know what it's all about. Greatest thrill of my life is see somebody come down that aisle and drop on their knees and say, I want to get saved. I want to accept Jesus. I want to get saved. I know one night I was up in the room, and I was getting desperate. Wasn't nothing going on. And I got out and I said, God, I want to win a soul to Jesus. Wouldn't you let me win one? I want to win a soul to Jesus. You say, you get like, yeah, I just cried, Lord. I want to win somebody to Jesus. Now, you can take this and leave it if you want to. But I've been crippled with my back for 16 years. And I get down where I couldn't walk. And I say, God, I want to win a soul. And I can't get out there. I want to win a soul. He'd send them my house. I mean, drunks. I mean, prostitutes. And say, I don't know what happened. Something told me over here. I ought to come over here and talk to you. He said, I can't swallow. You can swallow a whale story either. You ain't gonna never have nothing to tell. You get right with God and get that sin out of your life and quit living like you're living now and live like Christians ought to live, like some of them used to live. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen, 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 amen. You know what? You ain't got nothing to tell. You know what? I know that night I was praying up about midnight and the phone rang and the voice said on the other end, said, is this Preacher Lackey? I said, yes, ma'am. Said, you don't remember me. Said, I'm in New Jersey. I started to commit suicide the other night and I walked out on the banister up in the big, I don't know how many store building, going to jump and said, some restraining hand seemed to pull me back and said, you need to call Preacher Lackey. And said, you know, when I was a little girl, a little teenage girl, I heard you preach a funeral of my grandmother and said, you said some things that stuck in my heart and it never did come out. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm just trying to show you something. You preach in the Spirit of God, I'll guarantee you, you hear a man preach a sermon out of that book 20 years ago and it'll come back to your mind. I meet people every day and I'll preach a sermon outline I preached 25 years ago. And they say, I remember when you preached that so and so and so and so. Lord, a stick. Lord, a stick. And she said, you said some things. And she said, now, I've called you up. What in the world can I do? He said, I'm living with a man. He married to him. I said, well, one thing to do, and that's get saved. She said, yeah, but, preacher, I said, is anybody there besides you in the house that's supposed to be saved? She said, yeah, there's a woman right here now, and I guess she's dealing with her. I said, all right, you just let her pray with you, tell you how to get saved. And accept the Lord, and you know what you ought to do. And before I could say any more, she said, wait a minute, don't you hang up. I said, preacher, God being my witness, I line out. She said, is there such a thing as getting saved over the telephone? My God, yes, you can get saved over the telephone. Yeah. Yeah. Tell a line or anything else. And I said, get on your knees. I said, hey, Perkle, come in here. I said, I called my wife Jewel. I said, hey, Jewel. She is a Jewel. I said, come in there. I got a customer. I won that woman to God on the, I led her to Christ on the telephone. I didn't have to win her. Bless God, Holy Ghost done won her. And you know, just a few, little while back, I was in the, we go to, there's a truck stop up the road, got a nice dining room. I took John there. And we went in and sat down, and while I was sitting there, a beautiful woman walked up to the table and said, you don't remember me, do you? I looked at that pretty woman. I said, I remember you. And if I had, I'd explain to my wife who I talked, you know. I said, no, I don't know you. She said, you remember getting a call from New Jersey? I said, that's me. I said, I come home. I'm talking about, now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the miracle of prayer that you could be doing instead of watching your TV, playing your golf, going to the swimming hole, doing the fish, put away those childish things, become a man, do what God left you here to do. Amen and amen and amen. I've took three vacations since I've been preaching, and I got tied up in revival until then. Man said, you're going to preach me a revival. I said, boy, there's some more vacation. Amen. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the miracle of a Christian. It's you're just a walking miracle in prayer, in soul winning, getting more. Oh man, praise God, you're somebody. Amen. Then you go back to your puke, go back to your wallowing in your mob. What's the matter? I preached down at Brother Ruckman's the graduation night or the night after graduation night, and I preached on being filled with the Spirit. I don't know how I brought it in. I don't remember. But I emphasize Acts 1:8, and I said, that's the need in the church, is to be filled with the Spirit. Some people think you can come say a little recitation speech about prayer and think it'll be done then. Oh no, you may have to come 40 times before you get filled with Spirit. Yeah. But I just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming until God did for me what I needed doing. I preached it kind of like that down at Brother Ruckman's. And those people are smart. Them Hebrew scholars and Greek scholars and everything else. But you know, I look back and I don't believe I'd be lying, Rex. But that altar was crammed out. They were laying on their faces in the aisle almost to the back. And that building was packed out. They were standing in the lobbies out in the yard. Now what am I saying? They saw the need of being filled with the Spirit. They saw the need. I know I preached longer than I told you would, but I would like to tell you one more thing, if you let me. I know I've done preaching long and I ought to preach. I realize that. But I would like to tell you this. I was in Freeze, Virginia. It's right. If you freeze in the winter and fry in the summer, that's where you spell it too. F-R-I-E-S, fry, freeze. But I was up there in a meeting, Cotton Mill Village. J. Hall Smith went there years ago when that along about time he fasted 40 days without food and didn't drink nothing but water. Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever fasted 10 days and prayed? Have you ever fasted 5 days and prayed? Have you ever fasted any and prayed? You say, what about yourself? I went 26 days and nothing but water. Went down my throat. Made a difference in my life. The psalmist said, fast and make you humble. I humble myself with what? Eating? No, fasting. This old body's stubborn. Nobody is stubborn. I know you ain't going to swallow it. That don't make me no difference. He said, this kind comes by prayer and fasting. Amen, amen? All right. Well, anyhow, Jay Hall went there, burning flame. They said the whole Cotton Mill Village, the whole city of Freeze, nearly everybody got saved. When I got there, it's like it happened in the wilderness journey. Not all of them had backslid. But I was out riding with the preacher, and we were going down the road. And I seen a blind woman walking around in the backyard, and she was feeling for chips and things. And you can imagine how she looked, set on and one thing or another. And I pointed out to Bud, the preacher, and I said, Bud, who's that woman there? Well, she's a blind woman. I said, well, somebody will be looking at her. She said, oh, she married old fellow who watches down here at the mill. He's an old drunk. He never gets sober. He stays drunk all the time. And she had stayed there by herself and said a lot of times she'd go out and her hands would freeze picking up them cold chips trying to build a fire. And she'd go to the fire and burn her fingers. And I said, why don't some of you fellas get that bird saved? And then she'd have somebody look at her. Oh, you don't want to go there. I said, man, ain't nobody ever goes there. I said, how you know what to do if you don't go there? I said, turn his car around. I'm not a brave man. But I ain't no chicken either. I turn it around. I said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to talk to that man. And you know what? He said, preacher, I wouldn't do that. I said, turn it around. I went back and I got out of the car and went in the house. You think I'm telling you one experience? Esther Sperkle told me, he said, if you'll tell all the experience I've heard you tell, that I know you told the truth. I know you did. If you'll put them in a book, put them on tape, I'll put them in a book and it won't cost you one. I said it'd be the richest thing for the preachers of this country ever been, just to hear them. Just like you told about your life, Father. Maybe I will sometime when I get old. I'm really busy preaching now. But I told him in. I said maybe in 5-10 years I might do something like that. But, you know, he took me back. And I got out and I said, come on, bud, let's go in that house. And this man had just got in. Now, they had their... some of you have the living room, you have the den for the devil box, and you got all this, I know all about that stuff. You got the bullfighting britches hung up here and all that stuff. I know about that. But back then, they didn't have all that. They just had a little old 2 or 3 room house, and they used the bedroom for the living room and used it also for the company room and everything else, and they just sat on the bed. And the kitchen was back, just one room, you know, cooking everything else, wash here. I walked in, he was sitting on the bed. And I sat down and looked him right straight in the eye. And I said, sir, are you saved? You ought to start somewhere, you know. He looked at me straight in the eye and said, no. I said, sir, did you realize that if you're not saved, you'll go to hell? He said, I sure do. And they just told me he'd stayed drunk all his life. And while I was talking, I seen the Holy Ghost had got there before I did. I looked and I seen that little goose right here. I seen tears begin to well up in his eyes. And I knew God was there. And I said, "Sir, wouldn't you like to be saved and have all that past forgiven, put it on the blood? And now you, even if all that sin, you could still go with us to heaven and enjoy that because of Christ who died for your sin?" But that time he's crying. He said, "I believe a wood preacher." I said, "Slip on your knees right there by the bed." And we got down there and he accepted the Lord. He did. He got saved. And I got up and I said, "I understand your wife's blind." He said, "Yeah, she's blind." I said, "Where's she at?" She said, "She's right there in the kitchen." And I went in, and she had one of them newfangled washing machine. It's a number 10 washing tub. Then there's a washboard comes up here, and got little ridges on it. And she was running that thing, you know. There was that old shut on her face, little gnarled hands scrubbing that thing. And that's what I took before God. I said, "God, I said that woman might enjoy the rest of her life. You'd save that old bum, he could help her." That's the plea I put before him. And I went in there to her. And I said, "Lady," I said, "you have it pretty rough, don't you?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I want to ask you something. Did you ever go to church any?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Was there a time when you could see?" She said, "Oh yeah, I went blind at 13. And I said, "Did you hear the gospel?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Been saved?" She said, "No." I said, "Lady, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. I understand you're here by yourself most of the time. I want to introduce somebody who will never leave you and never forsake you. Stay with me." And I said, "I want to introduce you to somebody who will help you with your troubles and keep you from suffering and be with you close all the time." I said, "Wouldn't you like to know my Jesus?" She said, "Yes." Big tears rolled. And the reason you couldn't see her face good, she'd got that old black settees all over the wall. How do you expect a blind person to see the cleanup like that? All around, all over the stove and all over the floor. Him too saw her doing anything. Tears running down her face. She said, "Yes, I would." And I said, "Well, I won't tell you what to do. I won't take my Bible. And I won't tell you how to be saved." She said, "You don't have to." She said, "I heard you tell my old man. Could I stand around?" "Brother Henderson, believe before God. I know you can't see angels, and I know they don't have wings better than you do. But it just seemed like if they had it, you could feel them wings brushing around the walls while we got down and prayed that old woman." I said, "Lord, I'm so glad you're going to come live with her. Glad you're going to be with her." And all blood shed, he said, I never seen the like. You could see the like if you get busy, amen? That's what I'm talking about. Let's bow our heads.